Greetings, my little oddities. Welcome to Odd Tuesdays. This is Monica Caraway from Small Biz Thoughts. If you are listening to our show on iTunes, please be sure to check out our website at oddtuesdays.com to catch this and past episodes, as well as to find links mentioned in today's show. Now today, Carl talks to Kevin Royalty, a long-standing Microsoft MVP and leader in the MSP community. Kevin was featured in the January edition of Channel Pro Magazine, and we'll talk to Carl about the article entitled A How-To Guide for Partnering with Peers. We are also joined by Computer Walla Bob Nitrio in our Oddball segment, and I'll be sharing some tech news brought to you by NeoWin.net. First up, upcoming tech events happening throughout March. There is a nonprofit technology conference in Austin, Texas, March 4th through the 6th. You can learn more at myntc.nten.org. There is an Ingram Micro Cloud Summit on in Phoenix, March 8th through the 10th. Visit IngramMicroCloudSummit.com for more information. The Wearables TechCon is on in Santa Clara, March 9th through the 11th. More information can be found about the conference at WearablesTechCon.com. The Channel Partners Conference and Expo is on March 16th to the 18th in Las Vegas. Details can be found at ChannelPartnersConference.com. The HP Global Partner Conference is on March 16th to the 19th in Las Vegas as well. Visit bit.ly, that's bit.ly/HP Global for more information. The SMB Nation Office 365 Tour continues in New York, March 17th. More information can be found at 0365tour.smbnation.com. And the Great Little Seminar online MSP courses continue. A new class starts March 24th with the 10 Golden Rules of PSA. You can register over at greatlittleseminar.com. You can find the full listing of MSP and tech events happening in Carl's weekly newsletter. Just visit carlsnews.com to sign up. And now, let's head off to Carl and Kevin Royalty.
Hi, I'm joined now by Kevin Royalty from Cincinnati. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
So in the recent Channel Pro SMB magazine, one of the things that you talked about was the success that people can have by partnering with people that they might otherwise think of as their competition. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, when I was interviewed for this article, I had a great conversation with Carolyn, the author of the article. And one of the things that we were talking about was, as I was building my business with my business partner, Paul, that we were part of an IT pro community, so user groups. And a lot of these people have certain skill sets that we may not have and areas of expertise that we may not have. So as we were growing our company, we might come across areas where we were weak in experience or weak in knowledge, but we knew people that had that knowledge. So partnering with those people was a way for us to show our expertise to our clients, show them that we could get them the answers they needed, even if we didn't know what they were off the top of our head. It also made us a little extra money, and it made our partners a little extra money. And some of these people might normally be considered competition to us because we have such overlap. But in a way, partnering with some people that are your peers can strengthen your relationship with your clients as well as potential business partners down the road. You may end up finding out you have such a great working relationship, you might want to merge companies, buy one another out. You never know what's going to happen down the road.
Right. Well, I know in our user group, I have hired probably at least half a dozen people from that group to help with jobs over the years, and I've been hired by about half a dozen people over the years to help with jobs, either because somebody just needed extra hands or because there was a specific expertise. And I will say, I've never had any of us, steal each other's clients, not even close.
Correct. In fact, that's exactly 100% the exact same scenario that we have here. We've helped many, many other people in the group. we take off our logoed shirts and we put theirs on, or we go in with just generic, you know, like Microsoft or vendor shirts on, so the their customer does not know that we don't work for them. Other ones, they don't mind their customer knows, so we'll show up with our logoed clothing on and we'll go in and we'll help them with a project. I've installed many, many, many SBSs as well as migrations from SBS to SBS or SBS to other. I've done many of those over the years with other people in my user group community. And I've also done some for people that have met me or worked or found out about me through Spiceworks and other places too.
Right. Well, a really good example, one of the folks in our group, the co-leader actually, Bob Nitrio, he has a focus on the real estate and rental property markets. And so I have a client that manages a large bunch of apartments. And so he came in and helped them choose a new line of business application that was far more modern than the old piece of crap that they were using. You know, it was one of those that you got to the point where it could not be installed on new technology. But, you know, he was good. And now, you know, I go back in there and they go, hey, how's Bob? And, you know, and it's real clear that he hasn't been trying to poach this client or anything like that, even though it's a much better fit for his business than it is for mine.
Yeah, we've never had anybody, quote unquote, poach our clients. And we've never poached anyone's clients. We've had, over the years, because we've been doing this for so long, we've had a couple of members of our user group actually retire and take some of their customers and transition them over to us and transition some over to another guy in the group, you know, that they've worked with and partnered with over the years. So we've acquired customers that way, but that's not, obviously not our quote-unquote goal,
right,
to do that. But over the years, when you build those relationships, you never know what's going to happen.
Right. So when you partner with somebody else, how do you start the discussion around dividing the money? Like, if you're going to hire me to help with, you know, just in setting up desktops or whatever on a large install, how do you divide the money?
Typically what I do is I already know what the person's skills are because I've known them for a while. But let's say I only knew of you. Let's say one of my members referred me to you and said, hey, Carl has this expertise in desktop rollouts. That's what you're looking for, right? Yes, I am. Okay, then I would reach out to you. We would have an initial phone call and hopefully meeting in person where we can discuss our backgrounds, what we're good at, what we're used to, and then we'd start laying out the ground rules for a partnership, for a specific project, or potentially a long-term back-and-forth agreement that we might do several times over different clients over, you know, years.
All right. And how many of these have you done, would you say, in the last 20 years?
It's hard to say. We've probably done 20 or 30 over the years.
So we have an interesting thing in California, which is there's a lot of companies that have somebody in the Northern California and somebody in Southern California, and you know they've got offices in both. So I've ended up partnering with people who are in the Los Angeles area just because I don't want to get on a plane. It's much easier for somebody else to go in, you know, and help somebody set up an office and then be on call in case of emergencies. And So, you know, that's the kind of thing that every once in a while we get opportunities like that.
Yeah, we get those too. They're very rare, but we do get them. There's a gentleman out of Seattle that used to attend the SMB Nation conferences with you and I, and he had a client that was opening an office in Cincinnati, and he was based in Seattle. So because he had the relationship with me, he called me first and said, hey, would you be willing to take on this workload of helping my client open up an office in Cincinnati and support them and take direction from me in Seattle? And I said, no problem, we can do that. So we set up the guidelines of the relationship and how we would do billing and all that stuff, and we helped his customer open their office in Cincinnati, which is still open to this day.
That's interesting. I had a similar thing where somebody from Portland who I love the Portland User Group also. They're right up there.
Oh, they're great. I love going out there. Yeah.
But they called me and they said that they had a prospective client in Sacramento, that they had offices in Portland and Sacramento, and they wanted me to go meet the client just to see if they would be comfortable having us do, you know, backup support. So I went and met the clients, and they never ended up using me, but just because I was able to talk to the client and say, yeah, we'll be here if you need us, and here's our skill level and whatever, it helped this other guy sign that deal. So, you know, it, and that's one of those things where I'm sure if the tables were turned that we would have the exact same thing going the other way.
That's pretty much the way it should be, and yeah, it's great stuff. Partnering can really take your business to the next level. You're going to have to partner at some point. You really are. Either that or you're just going to confine yourself, and you're not going to grow.
Right.
Partnering is normal for big businesses. It happens all the time. It's no different with them than it is small business. We have to partner to grow. And you might find your next employee, your next acquisition, and certainly, like we've seen, when some of the people decide to retire, you may find yourself with a handful of new customers.
Right. Well, it's also the case. I mean, last time we talked about how you've been doing stuff in and around Cincinnati for a couple of decades, and, you know, you don't know what the future holds, so, you know, getting to know people who are in this industry, partnering with them, and you know, demonstrating that you are somebody who's good and reliable and dependable, that can only serve you well in the future. And, you know, maybe someday that person will actually be your boss, or maybe someday you'll be their boss. And like I say, you don't know what the future holds. I think it's all
you never know.
With people.
I count myself lucky, and I know Paul does too, when we partner with someone. They could be anywhere in the world, and we can work with them. We've done several Exchange 2013 on-site installs. I know how to do it. I've seen it done. I've watched people do it. That I know what they're doing. I've taken notes. I know how to do it. But you know what? I'm a little bit slower than the people that do it all the time. So guess what? When we have a customer that needs Exchange 2013 and it needs to be done, I actually outsource that to a partner in California, and he takes care of the Exchange install for me remotely. He never comes on site,
right?
And we give him the list of what we need done, and we give him remote access, and the next day when we get out of bed, it's ready to go.
It's beautiful. Well, and the other thing is that, I mean, we could go on and on and on. There's so many stories about partners helping each other, and, you know, part of it is being connected to the community, and part of it is also having the mindset that, you know, you and I are not in competition, right? Even if we were in the same city, we wouldn't be in competition. There's just so much business out there. And so part of it's, you know, the mindset and the willingness to say, hey, you know what, this is my profession, and I'm going to work with people in my profession. So you're a great connector. How can people contact you and get that conversation started if they're interested?
Sure. They can reach out to me at my business website. I'm at totalcarecc.com. You'll find my phone number and picture and everything on the website. You can reach me through there, or you can find me at Spiceworks. I am on the Spiceworks forum. I'm a moderator for the Small Business Server and Server Essentials forum.
Very good. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time today, and I appreciate everything you do for the community.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
Now in today's Oddball segment, we are joined by computer walla Bob Nitrio, who gives a review of Stamps.com.
Welcome to another Oddball segment. This is Bob Nitrio. Today I'm going to talk to you about something that we might not think about very often, but quite frankly, it's something that we deal with almost every day. And that is envelopes, postage, and labels. A number of years ago, I got tired of having to go to the post office and buy stamps, buy the sheet or buy the roll, stick them in my drawer, and sometimes find them mutilated, maybe even lost. It got to be pretty expensive, and it got to be tiresome. So I investigated some alternatives, and I decided I would try Stamps.com. One of the things that also attracted me to Stamps.com, besides convenience, was the fact that I would be able to print very professional-looking envelopes that looked like they had come out of a postage meter. I thought this would provide a much more professional appearance to my clients and would, of course, save me some time and money in the process. I never felt that a postage meter from Pitney Bowes or some other provider was really affordable for my small business. So, when I signed up with Stamp.com, I thought I was going to be in postage hog heaven. Unfortunately, shortly after I implemented Stamps.com, I found out that postage hog heaven was not where I was at. The first problem I had to deal with was envelopes. Although laser printers tell you that you can use the bypass tray to print envelopes, it's not quite that easy in many cases. In my experience, the best solution for printing envelopes with laser printers requires adding a dedicated envelope feeder. The other trick to using envelopes successfully in laser printers is to pay attention to what the manual suggests in terms of the way it is constructed. If you look at the back of an envelope, there are several different styles, and in my experience, every laser printer has had different requirements for the type of construction that it prefers when feeding envelopes through the bypass tray. Despite carefully selecting the envelopes that I needed for my particular laser printer, I never really had a great deal of feeding success when it came to trying to use the printer to do the entire job. Therefore, I switched over to an inkjet printer and had better results. Unfortunately, the cost of printing envelopes through inkjet printers, as we all know, can be quite expensive, and if you don't print a lot of envelopes or use the inkjet printer for other purposes, sometimes the cartridges dried up, and that was another expense that was just not acceptable. Another issue that I identified was that I had to use sheets of stamps in the laser printer, and I was always concerned about the possibility that on a partially used sheet, some of those stamps might peel off of the paper backing and adhere to either the photoconductor or some other part, which would result in an expensive repair. Once I abandoned the idea of using the laser printer to print envelopes and was simply printing stamps, I decided that $15.99 per month for the Stamps.com service just simply wasn't worth it. So I started a hunt to find something to replace it, and I discovered that Pitney Bowes had partnered with Brother Label Printers to provide a free monthly service that allowed me to print stamps without the cost of having to pay for that monthly subscription for features I didn't use. I purchased a Brother GL700 label printer for postage only, and it has worked flawlessly. In fact, the output from the Brother label printer on the stamps was so extraordinarily good, I decided to take things one step further. I purchased a Brother GL570 label printer, and I am using that now to print all kinds of labels, not just for addressing, but for other purposes as well. It has performed beautifully, and the output has been extraordinary. When my wife saw it, she said, "You know, I'd like one of those too," so we now have a pair of them. I was talking to my buddy Larry Walsh at Channelnomics the other day, and he recently encountered a problem with his Stamps.com account that I will share with you. He purchased a third-party roll of stamp labels, and when he inserted them into his label printer and tried to print, he was told that he had to have a special authorization code to do so. It seems that at least with Dymo label printers, which are used with Stamps.com, you have to use their supplies and nothing else. I honestly don't know if that's the case with Brother, but I have been very satisfied with the reasonable cost of their supplies, so it hasn't been an issue for me. So now, with a dedicated label printer and dedicated stamp printer from Brother, I am in postage hog heaven once again, thanks to Pitney Bowes. For more information, go to the Brother website and search for postage. It will take you to the PB Smart Postage page, and you can get all the details there. Well, that's a wrap. Please join us again in the future for another Oddball segment.
Now for today's tech news, brought to you by NeoWin.net. SanDisk is no stranger to setting records. In addition to releasing an SD card last year that could capture 4K video in real time, SanDisk also set a record by being the first company to launch a 128GB microSD. This month at the Mobile World Congress 2015, SanDisk announced the launch of the successor of that SD card with the 200GB UltraMicroSD XC UHSI card, the new king of microSD card storage. In addition to the massive amount of storage found on the tiny card, SanDisk has given us some other feature points. It can store up to 20 hours of full HD video, has premium transfer speed of up to 90 megabytes, can transfer up to 1,200 photos in just 1 minute based on a 4.1 gigabyte transfer of photos with a USB 3.0 reader, has a Class 10 for full HD recording and playback without stuttered capture or playback, and sports a durable design that is waterproof, X-ray proof, magnet proof, and temperature proof to keep your card safe. If 200 gigabytes on a micro SD card is exactly what you've been needing in your life, you'll have a chance to purchase the card sometime in spring. Don't forget your wallet, though. This card is set to retail for $400 at launch. Epic has just announced that its game development engine, Unreal Engine 4, is now free for everyone to download. This is a radical change from its $19 a month subscription. The change is expected to fetch more casual users and game developers with all the latest technology, including future updates, video tutorials and documentation, as well as ready-made game templates, samples, and content. Epic's Tim Sweeney says you can download the engine and use it for everything from game development, education, architecture, and visualization to VR, film, and animation. When you ship a game or application, you pay 5% royalty on gross revenue after the first $3,000 per product per quarter. It's a simple arrangement, he says, in which we succeed only when you succeed. Sweeney also commented on the price reduction strategy, saying, in early 2014, we took the step of making Unreal Engine 4 available to everyone by subscription. We put all of our source code online, available to all who signed up. We flipped the switch and crossed our fingers. The state of Unreal is strong, and we've realized that as we take away barriers, more people are able to fulfill their creative visions and shape the future of the medium we love. That's why we're taking away the last barrier to entry and going free. Sweeney also states that everyone who paid for Unreal Engine 4 via a yearly subscription will get $30 worth of credit to spend in the Unreal Marketplace. Microsoft had a big presence at the Mobile World Congress this year and has announced several new cool devices, such as the Lumia 640 and 640 XL, and a cross-platform foldable Bluetooth keyboard. On the software front, they have shown off Spartan for Windows 10 phones, as well as the new Bing Maps app, and new features that will come in the next big update to the touch-centric Office apps. Microsoft also held an event called First Look at the Windows 10 Universal App Platform, which was not live-streamed, and offers a more detailed look at the company's One Windows strategy, an effort to jumpstart the development of apps that work well across a wide range of devices with different forms of input. Microsoft's Kevin Gallo explains that the idea of Windows 10 is to have a unified operating system core that allows developers to create apps that have a one set of business logic and one UI. These will be accessible via a unified store in the form of a single package, and developers can use extension development kits to add device-specific functionality on top of that single binary. This means universal apps will have a similar look and feel, but will feature a screen layout and user controls that make sense for the device you are using, something called Adaptive UX. Windows 10 will determine at runtime how the customer is interacting with your app and render the appropriate user experience. Microsoft is making it easier for developers to build their apps for natural interaction, like speech, Cortana integration, inking, gestures, and user gaze, and to deliver notifications via the Action Center. The company will also offer the ability to package a website into web apps using Spartan's new rendering engine and call universal APIs such as camera, calendar, or notifications directly from JavaScript. Microsoft officials at the event have also confirmed that the Project Spartan web browser, which is a universal app, will be available with the next preview build of Windows 10. It is anticipated that more will be revealed about Microsoft's new app strategy at the Build 2015 conference in San Francisco in late April. Say goodbye to Google Plus as you know it. Search giant Google confirmed Monday that the social network's highly regarded photo app is getting split off from the rest of the service, which will now be called Streams. Google VP of Product, Bradley Horowitz, will head both Google Photos and Streams. Neither rebranded product's name references Google's social network in any way. That could signal Google Plus is quietly being dismantled after failing to ever truly take off. While there are more than 2 billion Google Plus profiles, that's mostly a result of Google's efforts to turn Plus into a sign-in service for other Google products. At the Mobile World Congress event this month, a Google representative remarked that, for us, Google Plus was always two big things. One was building a stream, the second was a social layer, a common layer of identity, how sharing works across our products and services. Also at the Mobile World Congress, Google's ambitious plans to launch a mobile network that combines cell towers and Wi-Fi hotspots called Project Nova was confirmed. More news is expected on that over the next few months. Apple is just over a week away from launching the Apple Watch, but the company's CEO already has a vision of the future that would be made possible by the wearable device. In an interview with The Telegraph, Tim Cook talked about the upcoming Apple Watch and the design and development efforts that went into creating it. Although there are many smartwatches already available from various manufacturers, Cook believes that the Apple Watch will be a revolutionary one. Features that he believes would set the Apple Watch apart include the ability to open car doors, make payments, and the gamification of health tracking. Apple has been busy making deals with car makers for better integration of its products and car dashboards. Speaking recently about the battery life, the Apple CEO assured that the device would work for 24 hours and not take too much time to charge, although earlier reports have indicated a disappointing battery life on the Apple Watch. Further, Tim Cook said that the company had not sold a product which can be tried on before purchasing, which can be a challenge for the various Apple stores that will stock the three variants of the smartwatch. Apple has scheduled an event for March 9th, and we will probably get to know more about its plans and the overall ecosystem around the Apple Watch than has already been announced last year. I'd like to thank NeoWin.net for today's tech news. Camp Carl has two specific online events happening this month. Carl's Great Little Seminar series of online MSP courses continues with the 10 Golden Rules of PSA class starting March 24th. Every MSP needs a professional services automation tool, but in addition to simply having a PSA, you need to set it up correctly and use it wisely. In the 10 Golden Rules of PSA course, you will learn how to double your value to clients and increase your profit with powerful Golden Rules of PSA service ticket systems. The instructor for this course is Manuel Polichuk, an MSP coach with over 25 years of business, management, and training experience. Odd Tuesday's listeners can register for this and other courses at a 20% discount by using coupon code ODDTUESDAYS, that's one word, ODDTUESDAYS, on checkout. Visit greatlittleseminar.com for course details and to register. Lastly, Carl's Globalization of SMB webinars series continues on March 31st. Dave Sobel from Max Focus will be Carl's special guest. Registration is free. You can register over at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/globalSMB. And a reminder that if you're listening to our show on iTunes, please be sure to check out our website at oddtuesdays.com for past episodes and hyperlinks mentioned in today's show. Please join us in our next episode on March 17th, where we will be joined by Dan Webb from TechSoup. TechSoup is an organization that provides technology and other resources to the nonprofit sector, a topic that will be of some interest to those MSPs who have nonprofit status clients. We will also be joined by one of our resident oddballs, Manuel Polichuk, in our oddball segment, and I will share the latest in tech news and events. I look forward to having you join us then. Take care.